Hey everybody, welcome to On The Mic Podcast. I am your host, Tim Drake. In today's episode, I sit down with comedian Travis Tate. I've got to know Travis a little bit over the last few years, kind of bumping into him at some different comedy clubs. So it was good to finally sit down with Travis and learn a little bit more about him. I knew Travis was a family guy, that he had a few kids, and it was interesting to get to know, you know, how he's managed to balance a comedy career with his family life, learn a little bit about what his kids think of him being a stand-up comic. I also talked to him about, you know, what motivated him to become a comic, as well as, you know, what inspires him to write comedy. It was a great interview. Like I said, you know, it was great to get to know somebody that, you know, it's just kind of been an acquaintance that I've seen throughout the clubs. So I hope everybody enjoys this new episode with comedian Travis Tate. Take two. This is Tim here with comedian Travis Tate. We say take two because we just recorded an entire episode and our recording device shut off and deleted the entire episode. So, yeah, we get to talk about stuff we have not even talked about, like, you know, doing comedy or anything.
Yeah, it's a good thing we were just talking about food before.
Yeah, it was a good test run to talk about going to Wendy's afterwards.
Two big guys talking about food takes an hour.
My house on the moon.
So, well, let's just start in with your shows that are coming up in a couple weeks here on the 24th and 25th at Wise Guys.
Actually, just Thursday night. Just the 24th, yep. 7:30.
So for some reason in my head I have that you're doing two nights, so let's see what Keith does for me.
Yeah, you never know. There's nothing else scheduled, man. Yeah, he'll throw it in there.
we'll keep our fingers crossed that he does that. So now you've been doing comedy 2 years now.
Yep, just under two years.
So and in our previous conversation, you had mentioned that this show would actually be on like a 2-year anniversary for you.
Right close to my 2-year anniversary, right. That's about when I started a week before Halloween, so that's right about where this one's at.
So, are you going to do anything special for the show to kind of suck? No. 2 years?
Hopefully not suck. That'll be the special thing I do.
I don't anticipate that happening after I've seen you perform several times now.
Well, thank you.
So, you know, as I mentioned to you before, you know, I will forever see you whenever I see you out in public as a 12-year-old in half of a Chewbacca costume.
That's the idea behind the joke. Just burn the memory right in there. It'll never leave.
So, and I really do want to see you do that as your next poster.
It's not a bad idea. If I ever make an album, that'll be the album cover.
So it should be like sitting at the breakfast table or something in half of a Chewbacca suit. With
I look like Mr. Tumnus from Lion Witch in the Wardrobe.
there's a joke there somewhere that you can add into that. So ruin two of the geek
cultures. That's it. Just ruin sex for every geek, if they can get it.
I think Dungeons & Dragons did that way before.
That's true. That's true.
So now I last saw you at the Geek Show benefit show just a couple weeks back, so which was an awesome show.
It was a great show, top to bottom.
Yeah, I mean you were on it. Andy Gold, Guy Sidel, Jay Whitaker, who put the entire show together. So I mean it was every big comic in Utah was there.
Just about everyone, yeah.
Other than Marcus, like I guess we can't say everybody was there, and then Marcus yeah. Get left out.
Can't leave Marcus out. So I thought he would be there, but maybe something came up. Maybe he was out of town.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to not see Marcus there. So, now, like I said, been doing this 2 years now. So what was it, you know, that really got you started and made you decide to... The comedy is going to be the career path you were going to go down.
Mostly as a little kid, I loved making people laugh. I loved watching this old... It was Live on the Sunset Strip, I think it was called. It would come on kind of late at night on Channel 13, and you'd have Carrot Top and George Wallace, just funny guys of that time on. Emo Phillips, I always thought he was pretty clever. And between that and Saturday Night Live, you know, staying up and watching that, I just always thought comedy, that would be fun. That would be fun to do.
So having some of the earlier Saturday Night Live, do you think it's dropped off now? So many people say that it's... not as good now. I think it's just as great as always.
I think everybody romanticizes everything. Like, when I was 18, I thought I'll always listen to whatever modern music is out there. And I still do a little, but I still like Depeche Mode and The Cure and Oingo Boingo. I still like that kind of stuff because that's just what I romanticize. So naturally, I like the Dana Carvey, Adam Sandler, Mike Myers, Kevin Nealon, all those guys, that era best, but they still put out really good stuff now, so.
Right, and those early, I mean, I remember listening to Adam Sandler all the time when I was a kid, even though I wasn't supposed to be. Yeah. I was 11 years old and I had the entire goat bit completely memorized.
I am an ordinary goat.
I remember kids in middle school would make me sing that for them because I had the entire song memorized and with every bit I wouldn't censor it. I was a pretty foul mouthed 12-year-old. And yeah, I remember one of Adam Sandler's albums even had the goat game that folded out from the book.
Oh.
I think you had to like get him free from the old man. You had to free him from the pickup truck. And we learned how to play that in the middle of like 8th grade English.
Now you're making me feel old. I was an adult when those came out.
So you had, you know, Live on the Sunset Strip, SNL. So as you got older, how long did it take for you to really decide that comedy was going to be, you know, a choice of a career to go down?
I always kind of dabbled and looked into it just as, you know, curiosity. And I would talk about it a lot to my wife, too. And she finally just got fed up and told me, either do it or shut up about it. And once my kids got to a certain age, I figured, you know, they're a little bit older. They're in the teenage years now. They're a little more mature. I'm a little more mature. If I would have started when I was 18, like some of the guys that go to open mic that I think are brilliant, they're just blows me away the kind of stuff they can write.
Yeah.
If I would have started in those days, I would have been like fart noises and making fun of everybody in the front row and not much else, and I probably would have flamed out and I probably never would have done it again just because I was immature at that age. But
yeah, and there really are some just brilliant young comics, like Wallace Fetzer.
Yeah, he's way good.
I could not believe how young he was, and I mean he was very, very, very good when I first saw him, and yeah, to learn that he just barely kind of started doing it. And
there's a load of him, Jackson Banks, Dylan O'Neill. I know I'm going to forget somebody, hurt somebody's feelings, but there's a ton of young guys coming up that are just great writers, have a good stage presence already. It's crazy.
And see, at that age, I was just simply, you know, being Carlos Mencia and stealing everybody else's jokes. So.
Whatever works.
So including Carlos Mencia's.
As long as you're not doing it in front of a crowd, I guess it's okay. I don't know.
I've always kind of joked about I would stay up late at night and watch The Tonight Show and copy Leno's monologue because I knew that nobody else, none of my friends were up that late or anything.
Yeah.
And so I'd memorize jokes in his monologue and then I'd go to school the next day thinking that I was just hot shit because hey, listen to this joke. And
I've actually heard of several pretty famous people that started out in comedy and their first time they went up they did somebody else's stuff,
yeah,
not knowing that's bad.
Yeah.
And then somebody pointed out to them and they fixed it. But you know, I think everybody, I remember mimicking movies when I was a kid, you know, Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah,
I've said those lines a billion times, never on stage. But
did you hear what Peter Farrelly was asking people to do for Dumb and Dumber 2? They wanted people to send them just a Vine video of their favorite line from Dumb and Dumber, and then whichever like impersonation video was the best would get to be in Dumb and Dumber 2.
Oh,
with
that'd be
line.
Cool.
Yeah, I found out about it too late. I was just devastated.
I don't know how I would choose.
I think I would have to do something with Petey.
It might be, yeah.
With the little blind kid.
Our birds. Heads are falling off. Yeah.
That is definitely one of my all-time favorite movies.
Yeah, I take it with me whenever I go to Park City.
Yeah.
We go up there like once a year for our anniversary. We'll take that up and watch it. And my wife's like, I am so sick of this movie, but I got to watch it.
Yeah.
Half of it was filmed up there. Just love watching it up there.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to hear from people that have actually read through the script that it is just as good.
I'll have to check it out.
So, I mean, having you know, both of the originals back, and of course, they were not the ones who did Dumb and Dumber.
Right.
So, I think it's funny how much the Farrelly brothers are like, we want to make sure we are not associated
with that. We had nothing to do with that.
Nothing to do with that.
I never actually saw that.
I refused to see it. if it was not going to be Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels, I was not seeing it. So, and I'm thrilled that those two are both back.
Yeah, me too.
So, and I have a little heard older. That the blind kid is back as well.
Maybe he'll be the villain. He ruined his life. Now he's syndrome.
So now you talk about, you know, what other comedy movies did you like then that really kind of influenced you?
All the ones based on Saturday Night Live, you know, Wayne's World. I liked the Vacation movies. Oh, man. There's so many to go back. You know, Adam Sandler stuff. Jim Carrey. I used to really love Jim Carrey. It's harder for me to watch now, except for Dumb and Dumber. I still can watch that continuously, but...
What did you think of Man on the Moon with Jim Carrey? With his Kaufman movie?
I liked it a lot. I just thought it was an interesting... I wouldn't say it was hilarious or groundbreaking. I did enjoy it, though. Yeah. I liked... Yeah. The whole Jerry Lawler bit, slapping him on. Yeah. That was kind of cool how they went back and tried to make that look similar to the way it did.
Yeah, and I have an obsession when I watch movies. I'll pull up, like, the IMDb and the Wikipedia and stuff. I mean, being a film major and making films and stuff, like, I always want to know the background. Why did this happen? How did they do that? It drives my wife absolutely nuts as we're watching things. But particularly when I've watched Man on the Moon again recently, it was really cool to see things that were and weren't accurate with how they portrayed Kaufman and all of that. But I thought it was brilliant. I absolutely loved it. And yeah, it's not something that's necessarily a laugh out loud. I had no idea Andy Kaufman was wrestling...
Women. They loved it, though. I've heard stories about him, you know, going and buying pizza for everybody that was in the arena that night. Yeah. It's just the local pizza joint, and everybody goes, and it's a good old time. And no hard feelings, just having a good time.
You can actually, I found on Amazon, you can buy an Andy Kaufman wrestling action figure.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, I saw that, and I'm still yet to buy it. I thought that was one of the coolest action figures I could add to my adult... It's like you hear someone that has an adult toy collection,
yeah,
and you immediately think that it's something porn related. And it's like I've mentioned to people before, oh yeah, I have a toy collection. They're like, oh, you have an adult toy collection. I'm like, yeah, but it involves Transformers and Superman. So.
I've got plenty of those myself. When I was moving from my old house to the house I'm in now, we put all the kids' books in certain boxes, and then we had boxes for mine and my wife's books, and we wrote adult books on it. That was fun. All my family helping us move adult books. What's in here? Wouldn't you like to know?
I think for the next time I move that I'm going to do that just for the moving crew I've helped like to move out and move in.
Adult movies.
I realized recently with my move to LA how insanely lazy I am. It was like $200 for a couple movers, huh? Done.
Yeah. Well worth it.
Yeah, it was worth every bit of it. I sat back and watched them do all the work. It was right. Wonderful. I lit a cigar with a $100 bill, and that's when I realized how stupid I was.
Lazy and stupid. It's a good combination.
I mean, hey, I worked for Homer Simpson. I can do it too.
Still working for him.
Yeah, still working for him. Can you believe they started the 25th season this last?
It's crazy. It's crazy. I remember the outrage when I was a kid. Bart Simpson's going to ruin every kid in America. He's a bad influence. I just remember my aunts and uncles just going back and forth, and they all agreed.
Yeah.
I can't believe they put this filth on, and we're all just like...
And see, I was literally raised on it. I remember, because I was 5 years old when it came out, and I actually remember watching it then. So,
really?
And it's like I didn't realize, you know, at the time, even a couple of years ago, I didn't realize that was the first season. But now, as I realize, when it came out and like where I was living at the time, like yeah, I was watching it from the very first season. And I think if my parents realized that, they'd be like, "Why did we let him?" And as we got older, my parents were like, "No, we don't want you guys watching this." But then my dad would go into their room and turn it on.
Right.
And so we'd all end up in my parents' room watching The Simpsons.
I don't think parents realized at the time either. They were giving their kids an excuse to do bad things.
Yeah.
I asked in the sixth grade. I asked the teacher. She was being kind of ornery. I'm like, who peed in your Cheerios? She got pissed, sent me down to the office, and the principal's like, why did you say that to her? I was like, I saw Bart Simpson say it. All right, you can go. Another Simpson.
I had the same one. There was one where Bart gets his hands on a Mad magazine, and has he makes a shirt that says, Down with Homework. And but there was the other part of it that was down with homework, up with miniskirts. And I was like, that's hilarious. And I remember I got out like an old Hanes undershirt and wrote that on the shirt. And I knew my parents weren't going to let me get away with it, so I wore it underneath my shirt. And then as soon as I got to school,
right,
pulled it off thinking I was hilarious, and I got in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, principals, usually vice principals, they're the ones that hunt you down.
Yeah. Yeah, by the time I'd hit high school, I think they were just over it. They were just like, we're not going to...
Yeah, whatever.
He's going to do it anyway.
He didn't stab anybody, just let it go.
This time.
Yeah.
So now you mentioned, you know, you've got your kids and family. Have your kids, you mentioned your kids have seen some of your stuff. So how do they really feel about having a dad that's a comedian?
For the most part, they think it's pretty cool. I mean, a lot of times they really don't care. They're at the teenage age where if they want something, they'll use like, oh, you every weekend you're out doing this, and they'll use it to to manipulate me. But, for you know, they're pretty cool with it mostly, and they're kind of nervous about some of the jokes they might get included in, but my daughter was actually upset that she hadn't been included in a joke, so I've got a joke with her in it now. I didn't want her to feel left out, but
does she enjoy the joke though?
Yeah, she loves it. She loves it.
So now your wife's involved in some of your jokes, of course.
Yeah,
so
quite a few of them.
How does she feel about those jokes?
She loves it. She's the hero in all the jokes. She's the smart one. Yeah, I'm the one that looks like an idiot, so she's cool with it.
So I think the only family member I've included in any type of joke is my father-in-law. So, and luckily, my wife and her entire family are A-okay with that. Because he's just an interesting guy. I mean, he's in his 80s.
Oh, wow.
So he had my wife when he was in his 50s.
Wow.
So almost 60s.
What a stud.
Yeah.
He should write a book.
And, oh, he could. He has the stories. But I remember the first time going up to Idaho Falls with my wife to meet her family. Well, just her dad. He answered the door, and the first thing that went through my head is, oh, her grandpa lives here, too. But it continued on to when we were married. Like, at our wedding, the photographer's getting everybody together, and she's looking at just parents. And she's, and my wife's dad's, and his wife now are both just still standing there. Every episode.
There she goes.
So it's funny. It can be somewhere nice and quiet, like here at Charlie Square. And every single time, all of a sudden I'll get this...
And it echoes, because there's nobody here.
Yeah, there's nobody here, because they were killed years ago.
My wife and I used to come on dates here. When we were dating, we'd come here all the time.
Yeah.
It was even before Rhodesia was there. You know, we'd go to the old Spaghetti Factory, or there was a Tony Roma's.
I used to go to the Hard Rock that was here all the time before they,
yeah,
of course, closed that. But luckily now it's Wise Guys, so.
Yeah.
It at least keeps
it's getting used
coming.
For something, yeah. Yes.
So I remember when Marcus released his album, his opener was just hilariously referenced the unfortunate shooting here.
Uh-huh.
And it started off because he was recording the show and everything, and said, yeah, you know, I kept telling people that we were going to be, you know, shooting at Charlie Square, and, you know, ticket sales were down, and I couldn't figure out why.
We still get them at least once a month at open mic, Charlie Square jokes.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's...
I don't know, maybe they think I'm the first person that's thought of this. I honestly don't know.
It's one of those things.
And it always gets groans every single time.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's not only is it just kind of, I mean, that was what, 2007? Dude, I mean, it's 6 years old.
It'd be one thing maybe if it was another city, but there's people, yeah. Somebody might have been there that day, and they're in the crowd, and who knows how they're going to react to that.
Well, it's still creepy even as you walk along upstairs up here.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's, no pun intended, it's a ghost town up there. So, I mean, half the businesses went out here after that happened.
Yeah, it's weird in here now. I remember it was hopping when we used to come here when we were dating. I mean, there was a movie theater here.
They used to have the movie theater that we'd come to when I was a kid. My parents just always bring us up here.
Yep. It used to be fun. Now it's just
This area to the right of us, I actually shot a movie down here like a year and a half ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's cool. What was it called?
Mistletoe. So it was the ABC Family movie.
Oh, yeah, with Tori Spelling?
Yeah. It was the first movie I ever auditioned for. Like, I just barely signed with an agent that I fired months later. I'd never auditioned in my life, and they sent me into audition for one of the lead roles.
Wow.
And of course I didn't get it. Because I didn't know what the hell I was doing, but I still was brought on just as an extra. But it was still cool to like hang out with like Tori Spelling, Tia Mowry, and you know, Jason, I can't remember what his last name is, but he's been like Community, 24, like he's been in tons of things. And it was kind of cool to just like be around them the entire time.
I'm sure. Yeah, being on a movie set would be cool.
It's a great place to shoot because there's nobody here anymore.
Nobody but Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
Singing in the background.
Yeah, this is probably bad. Unfortunately, this is not his concert. They're packed. Granted, I went and saw Bruno Mars like 3-4 years ago down at the McKay Event Center, or whatever it's called now, the UVU Center, UCCU Center down in Warren. And it was actually quite an awesome show.
Was it? Yeah, I'd imagine he's a good entertainer.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the openers were nothing spectacular, but Bruno brought it home. I did not expect that, but my wife and I were like, all right, we got good seats, and this was a pretty awesome show.
I just know every song he sings is about how every woman is beautiful.
Yeah.
I don't know. Someday he's going to snap. Like, put him in a car with Rihanna on the way to an award show. And then we'll find out if Bruno Mars is that good or if Chris Brown really was just a bad person. I don't know.
I think it was Daniel Tosh that said how Chris Brown wasn't trying to hit her. I mean, if you've seen his music videos, he's doing all those roundhouse kicks and her hair just got in the way.
Yeah. Either that or they were listening to one of her songs and it was like the old broken record player. Just hit it. See if it stops skipping just the same thing over and over and over again.
Well, at that point, I think we would have lost Chris Brown for good because he would have just shot himself.
That's true.
Yeah, we would have instead had a Whitney Houston event going to that award ceremony. So you've got these shows coming up. It's a 45-minute set. So you've been building this set for a while now. So what is the biggest inspiration to you as you're writing your jokes?
Mostly just my daily life, my family, things that I observe. I mean, not everything is just wife or kid jokes. A lot of it is stuff I see in the news, or I love movies and pop culture-y type stuff, so I'll make jokes about that. Mostly just about, like, my view on something, or a lot of times how I like to do it, because I like to put pop culture in there. It's things I'm interested in, and I'll try to work it into a joke, into, you know, my reaction to it, or just something fun like that.
Yeah, and it's fun to keep it topical. It's something everyone can always relate to. I've been racking my brain to try to figure out. I've been on our website. I always try to post something just to be an ass to whatever big pop culture event's been going on. So I've been trying to come up with John Boehner's vacation list right now. but it has not been just flowing. So after Marco Rubio had his whole thing where he, you know, dove for the little miniature water, like a week later, he was going to the Middle East. And I didn't want him to get dehydrated, so I wrote him an entire letter on how to stay hydrated. So he never responded to it. I was a little let down.
I feel for him on that, because when I'm on stage, my mouth gets so dry.
Every time we record an episode at at the Wise Guys in Trolley Square, my mouth gets so incredibly dry.
Really?
I don't know what it is. It's just in that building. There must be like extra dust that I'm sucking in or something.
Yeah, I always end up taking a drink with me usually.
Yeah.
Even an open mic, a lot of times I'll take a drink up, just have a sip, because my mouth, I'll get cotton mouth really bad. Then I'll, if I record it, I'll see it, you know, I'm moving my tongue around my cheek, trying to get a little lubrication so it's not sticking to my teeth. And
it could be good, though, because you could spit on that guy in the front row just for fun and give him something to take away from the show.
I don't think anything would come out a lot of the times. It's that bad. It's like...
Something I've always wanted to do, just as a joke halfway through a show or something, is I want to see a comic or myself do it, just walk down and just take a sip of someone's drink, thank them, and just walk back up.
I've been tempted. I have been tempted when my mouth is super dry and I can see somebody, they got a water there. They also got a soda. They haven't touched the water. Tempted just to take a little swig.
I just want to see the reaction, or I want to walk around and just start eating their food.
I've seen that.
So I think Steve Martin actually did that, and I think that's why it's in the back of my head.
Harland Williams did a thing where somebody was eating nachos on the front row, and he walked up, and he's like, can I have a chip? And they're like, yeah, sure. He takes a chip. He's like, You want to hear what it sounds like when you have sex with an old lady? And he turns around and crinkles the chip into the microphone.
Have you watched Farland's newest stand-up special?
No, I haven't got around to it. I've been putting it off.
I found it on Netflix the other day, so I'm really looking forward to finally sitting down and watching it.
Yelling at crows.
He's brilliant in that way. I've never got to actually see him live when he's been out here, but I've always seen his specials, and he's someone I really want to. Yeah, As a kid, I idolized him for Rocket Man.
I think he's coming in March.
Oh.
Don't quote me on it, but I've heard Little Bird say that he might be coming in March.
Yeah, there's been a lot of great shows coming through here lately that I've seen being announced that I'm really excited for.
Keith Stubbs at Wise Guys brings in some good acts.
Yeah, I'm really excited for I know in January we've got Judah Friedlander coming through.
I think he and also
Janine Garofalo.
Yeah, Janine, and who else is coming with Janine?
I can't remember who's coming with Janine now.
They're going to be here for Sundance, so that's why it's cool, you know, make a few $1,000 coming down here, promote your movie or whatever. Greg Barrett. Who's coming with Janine Garofalo.
Yeah, we actually got to meet Pete Holmes at Sundance last year. Yeah, Pete was awesome to meet and, you know, be able to kind of talk to him for a minute. And
he's a good guy.
Yeah, we kind of lucked out at the same time, and Scott Aukerman was doing Comedy Bang Bang up here.
And
so we got to see Scott and Tom Lennon, Ricky Lindholm, and Mary Lynn, and I can never
Rice Cub?
Yes, I can never pronounce her
it's
last name.
Rice Cub.
I would just say Marilyn Hershey.
Yeah, we were doing that. She was here a few months ago.
Yeah, and so, I missed that. I was really
She bummed. Was so nice. She's my wife's favorite person. My wife loves her. She's a Marilyn fan.
Just how nice she was. You guys got a lot of great comics through here that I was super jealous of.
Yeah, it was a good run. It's still a good run. But.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I came back in the right time. And I mean, Cash Levy this week, Pardo, and Jenna Kim Jones next week.
Lachlan Patterson, he's really funny too. He's at West Valley this week.
So, and of course, the following week, your shows.
Yeah, little thing there. 2 weeks off.
So it'll be some good runs.
Yeah, it's fun. One of the cooler things is actually getting a chance to hang out and talk to some of the comedians that come through, and most of them are really, really cool. Most of them meet everybody that comes to the show, which is how I think it should be.
Yeah,
personally. If I ever get to a point where I don't want to meet people, I want somebody to smack me.
Who's your favorite that you've met? I know, you know, I saw from Facebook and stuff that, you know, you gotta go to breakfast and everything with Mark Maron. Which
it was actually the middle of the night breakfast. It was at like 1 in the morning. And yeah,
How many times did Mark mention that it was probably against his diet?
We actually had a conversation. I'm doing the same diet he's doing, the 4-hour body. And we talked about it. I got a buddy who's lost 100 pounds doing that.
Really?
And it's taken him like 3 years, but I mean, I've lost 40. Yeah, we talked for 20 minutes about the 4-hour body and Tim Ferriss.
You're going to have to tell me more about this because
it's pretty easy, actually.
The rate that I've been gaining weight, I've been gaining an extra body every 4 hours or so.
the thought process behind the name of the book, I think, is to spend like 4 hours a week working on your body. So it's not like your body's going to change in 4 hours.
Right.
But mostly it's diet. Do some working out, push-ups, sit-ups. Simple stuff. You know, nothing terrible. But
also, I still have to do something.
A little bit here and there. Yeah. Like 3 times a week to start out, and then you work your way up. But it's mostly just cut out all white flour, sugars, that kind of thing. Eat a lot of beans, vegetables, lean proteins, that kind of stuff.
So become very flatulent. You'll be good.
If you rinse if you get canned beans and you rinse them out, rinse all that juice, that murky stuff, it's not that bad.
So there was that 18-year-old fart joke we both would have been telling.
Yeah.
That's when we would have started.
A lot of eggs, too. I eat a lot of eggs now, too.
But
hanging out with Mark Maron, it was surreal just sitting there. I'm like, my wife's sitting across from me, and Mark Maron is right to my left. And he's answering all the questions everybody's answering. You know, I'm just like looking at my wife going, Mark Maron is sharing my syrup. We're eating pancakes with Mark Merritt.
You should have just offered him a bite to see if he'd take it. Just like cut a piece of your pancake, Mark.
And he was so cool, though. I thought he might be standoffish. When I agreed to go to the Village Inn, that's where we went, I didn't even know he was going until we got there. I just thought we were going to hang out. I was like, yeah, let's go hang out. And then there's Mark Merritt. I'm like, all right, this is cool. Night just got a little interesting.
Yeah, at one point, Jordan was flying back from Albuquerque, and I think it's Mark's like dad that lives out in Albuquerque. Yeah. It's one of his family members that lives out there. And he had sent out, you know, his usual Monday morning email letting people know who's on the show that week.
Right.
And mentioned how he's sitting at the Albuquerque airport, and Jordan, like, freaks out. And he's like, I'm here, can I buy? And he started typing, can I buy you a drink? And he's like, wait, this guy's been sobered up for, can I get you a smoothie? Is what he
can I buy you a Diet Coke?
What I tweeted him. And Mark had actually typed it the day before. And so Jordan's all excited. He's looking all over the airport. Where's Mark? Where's Mark? And then finds out. Mark tweeted him back and was like, left yesterday. And I was just like, damn it.
Yeah, but that was pretty cool. We got to hang out with the Sklar brothers. That was cool when I opened for them. We went down to the Puck. They had some of my sweet potato fries.
Oh, you got
just
that
hung
place
out there. Yeah. Didn't share my garlic burger, but that's okay.
Those aren't meant for sure.
We had a good time. But yeah, it's cool coming. All these guys that come through and are willing to take time to just sit and BS with some of the local scrubs, basically.
So, you know, with building this full set and everything, you know, you've been pulling, you know, a lot from family, and you've been doing this, you know, building this for 2 years. What do you think is the most crowning achievement you've had over these 2 years with everything? I know, whether it's, you know, your kids enjoying your comedy or your family or who people you've opened for, what's been that highlight where you've been like, yeah, this is all worth it?
I think the coolest thing, honestly, and it sounds corny, is when my friends or family members come to the shows. I mean, I always put out there I'm doing this show, but when it's like a surprise and they just show up, first of all, it makes me super nervous to have them in the crowd, but it's like, it's really cool. Like, I have cousins and friends that have seen me multiple times, right, but they'll still come. So I know it's not because they love me that much. So they must be having a good experience at least. Right. So that's pretty cool. Just the challenge of doing it every week and getting up. Like, there's weeks where I'm like, I don't know if I ever want to do this again. That was terrible. I don't feel like, you know, I'll watch myself. Usually I feel the most down after I listen or watch myself. Just feel like, man, I'm terrible. But getting back up there and getting laughs, when you write a joke and you're like, I think it's going to work, but I'm not sure. And then it starts to work at open mic. And then once you get it to a point where you know you can put it on every weekend, any show, no matter who you're opening for, and get a laugh out of it, that's a pretty good feeling. That's a pretty good crowning achievement. And just working hard. My parents are hard workers. So, when I was about 18, I figured out how to work hard.
Right.
When I became an adult. But just working hard and accomplishing, like, I just doing this show. It's my second headline show, and it's kind of an honor, but I'm proud of it at the same time. I know anywhere else in the country, I probably wouldn't get the shot, so I'm grateful to Wise Guys and Keith Stubbs for giving me the shot. But the fact that I, you know, go into the club, you know, helping clean up beer bottles after a show that I wasn't even on, or helping the wait staff vacuum, or just making an ice run if they run out of ice, every little step, because like I heard it described today, I think it was Kathleen Madigan on a podcast said, you know, where you want to go is a really long staircase.
Right.
I think it was on a different show. It wasn't Kathleen Madigan. But it's like every little step makes you a little bit better, you know, and just enjoy the steps. So you can look back and it's not like people thought, I'm going off on a little tangent here. The first time I saw Dave Chappelle, that I can remember anyway, there was probably the Mel Brooks movie, the Robin Hood one. But then in like Half Baked, and I was like, where'd this guy come from?
Right.
This guy just came out of nowhere. He must, you know. But the more I learned about Dave Chappelle and the crap he went through, sitcom pilot after sitcom pilot, just all this crap over years. It's no wonder he slipped out and he's like, I've had enough. I'm going to Africa.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's a long road. And if you can't enjoy the road and enjoy the process, then it's not going to be fun.
Yeah, and it's funny because, I mean, Kevin Hart actually has been through a lot of that. I think it was a WTF interview where he talked about how many different pilots he had recorded that never went anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But he, I mean, he's still stuck at it. And by far, I mean, he's probably one of the most successful comedians currently.
Yeah, he I think he's one of the, for sure right now, highest grossing comedians. Yeah. And he's like making like all time numbers. The guy is just raking in the money.
Well, he's got his own movie of his stand-up special at this point, which is just incredible.
He's doing it right.
So yeah, I at first, when I first kind of heard him, I was like, I don't know what I think of this. And I really started listening to him, I was like, this guy's hilarious.
Sometimes when I first hear a comic and I'm kind of like, I'm talking like national, not like local guys. If I'm kind of a little wary, like I can see and appreciate the joke, but it's not really that funny at first. And then the more I keep going back to it, those are the guys that I enjoy for a longer run than the guys that are like making me laugh just right off the bat. Like at first, I didn't like Brian Regan at all.
I still don't, but Andy Gold has talked me into giving him a second chance, so I'm going to.
It's an older one, and it's the Cup of Dirt one, the one about the dog barking at night. I think that's my favorite of all of his albums. But yeah, at first I was like, he's talking like a dumb guy. But the more I've watched it and learned from it, and then I don't really listen to the jokes as much anymore as I kind of look at the cadence and how they're setting it up.
And, right. And as
that's something that can help me.
That's something that, like, where Jordan and I have been writing, you know, sitcom pilots, screenplays.
Yeah.
We've really had to study how the jokes are written. And so, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. You watch these, not just to see, oh, are they going to make me laugh, but how did they structure this? Where is this? And, yeah, that's what I know for me. I've become much more appreciative of great comedy.
And also, how do they get A to connect to B? And sometimes, like, if it's somebody who's going to do a risky joke, you know, they might just get groans or nothing at all. It's how did they set things up earlier to make that joke work at the end? Yeah. Because not if you just went up and opened your set with like a graphic sex joke, you might lose the audience for the entire rest of your set.
Yeah,
but if you build to it and you're like, I'm a nice guy, sometimes I do dumb things, blah, 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 and then all of a sudden I'm telling jokes about flying an X-Wing fighter and it's a euphemism for having sex, they're more likely to go with it than if I just open up with that.
Right. And then there was, I can't even remember the comic's name, it was on the Geek Show benefit show, that, yeah, he just started off graphic as could be, and yeah, you felt that energy from the room just suck out.
Yeah, you have to earn the trust.
And I mean, it was probably 10 minutes that it was just like, for the love of God, is this guy going to get off the stage? All right? And I've never, ever felt that way during any comic set until that. And then that's why I can't even remember what his name was. I just remember I hated his set. Because all it was it was like, how can I be blue and just be a douchebag about it?
Well, like Jim Norton. My wife saw Jim Norton because she kind of is helping out at the clubs and stuff. And Jim Norton is super, super dirty. But she wasn't bothered by it at all because she saw that it was genuine. That's really who Jim Norton is. And he's kind of charming and funny about it. It wasn't just, I was doing this and blah, blah, blah. It wasn't Andrew Dice Clay. You know what I mean? Just chauvinistic. He was kind of like, I have flaws. These are my flaws. Let me talk about them and tell them in a funny way.
Yeah, so like it's more Dice genuine. Clay, and Dice Clay's even a total knack, too, that he does.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the biggest reason I didn't go see him when he was here. And it was just like, I know it's an act, but it's that act that it's just like, it's just going to annoy me the entire time because I know it's not genuine and that it,
it is an act. I was help working the door for the Dice Clay shows. So I was checking hand stamps and stuff. And I got on Facebook in the middle of people going, and I'm like, judging by the crowd here tonight, there's nobody working at the Salt Lake Valley's tobacco shops tonight.
Very, very true. So, other than the shows coming up in a couple weeks here, you know, any other events that you've got that you know you're going to be on to kind of promote here?
No, it's kind of a weekly thing, so I'm not doing anything this weekend, so go check out the shows that are going to be there, but definitely come to my shows and bring friends. You can use a 2-for-1 coupon. It's only $10. You can get in for $5 if you use that.
And where can they find that out?
Just on the wiseguyscomedy.com. there's a thing there, or you can even get it on your phone if you have a smartphone. just come and buy some nachos. And hopefully, yeah, I can make it laugh.
The Wise Guys has great food too.
Yeah, they've changed the menu there. I don't know if you've been there since they changed the menu, but they've got burgers now, burgers and fries. Really good burgers.
I look forward to the Chicken Club sandwich every single time.
Yeah, they still got that, I think. Yeah, they've added some salads, like a it's a bacon blue cheese salad. And
every time I know I'm going to a show where I know I'm going to have to buy my item, I look forward to that damn Chicken Club all day long.
Yeah, and people are weird about
that's
item.
That's when
minimum.
I really realized that I'm a fat kid. Is what I look forward to. But see, that one item.
It's
minimum,
bacon.
Yeah.
It's bacon.
It's the bacon. That probably is it. And that's funny that people do get upset with the one item minimum.
Yeah.
Because a lot of clubs, especially outside of Utah, are two items.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
And some of them are even like a two drink minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Where I know the Comedy Store, as Jordan and I were out there about a year ago, it was a two drink minimum. And we thought it was just one because we were used to out here. And, like, they kind of let it slide for us.
Yeah.
But just those two drinks that both of us had were $25.
Yeah, I saw Jay Moore in Brea last spring because I was down there. I took my kids to Disneyland. And it was a two-item minimum there. And it was such a big room. And I was sitting sideways and back to the stage. So I had to turn. I had to crane my neck just to see the stage. I could, yeah. And I had to stand in a standby line just to get in.
Oh, jeez.
It was crazy. He was cool, though. He meets everybody afterward. He was excited. I told him, you know, I knew Keith and do Wise Guys. He's like, oh, I love Wise Guys. His podcast, he'll talk about, like, the Sklars, too. They'll talk about Wise Guys all the time.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
I hear a lot of comics mention that. I had to tell Keith, you know, you've got to go listen to the Joel McKellar episode of WTF.
Yeah.
Because they sat there and talked about Wise Guys for, like, 5 minutes, and Keith had no idea that they had done
that. Yeah, that's because he does it right. I mean, yeah. He guarantees them the money. They get paid what they were supposed to be paid.
And he made Joel McKellar a lot of money while he was out here.
Yeah, sometimes it's rough on him, but he keeps plugging away. And he's super good to us, us local guys. I mean, a lot of clubs around the country will pay a feature to come in. They might not even know the headliner. They'll pay a feature, pay them a couple $100, pay the headliner whatever they're going to pay them. And then they'll just have a host, too. And local guys might get on, like, after the show.
Right.
Just almost like open mic style. But here, you know, once you've proved yourself a little bit to Keith and he knows you can go up there and not walk people and also make them laugh, you know, he's really good about giving people time and letting them grow.
So we're glad that you've got the time because you've made a mark here. So now I'm looking forward to your shows in a couple of weeks.
I'm certainly trying. So.
Well, thanks for sitting down with us today. So I'm glad that you know we were able to make the time and make it happen. So.
We've known each other 2 hours now. I feel like we've known each other for
at least
2.5.
It's almost as if we recorded another episode before this.
You didn't miss anything. This one was way better. No. Thanks for letting me come on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem at all. So everybody get out. Go see his shows. If you're in Utah, get down to the West Valley Wise Guys on the 24th and go check it out.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Adios.